Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. Welcome to another week of Doses of Consciousness. This week's Dose of Consciousness was inspired by this last weekend. I had a really beautiful, moving, and profound experience at a wellness retreat that I assisted and was fortunate enough to be a part of as I led a class in it myself. This retreat was the Weekend of Wellness, put together by the angry therapist, John Kim. He created this project that's called Tat Lab, in which coaches and therapists give classes throughout the week according to their specialty. I am also fortunate enough to be a part of that group, and I do astrology classes on a weekly basis. Anyway, this Weekend of Wellness was about coping with the holidays and all of that stuff that the holidays bring, right? All of the triggers, all of the the things that we don't want to deal with when it comes to family sometimes. For me, it was a little different. I attended a class by one of the therapists, Vanessa Bennett. She's a badass who just gives it to you like it is. That girl does not sugarcoat anything. And I appreciate it. And I think that a lot of people do. I think that it makes it a lot easier to get through our stuff in a much more direct way when we know exactly what to call it. Anyway, her class was talking about codependency. And she was talking about how codependent traits tend to sneak their ugly little heads in various different ways, especially when we think that we have outgrown them. When we have therapeutically outgrown them, when we have outprocessed them enough on our therapist couch, or in this case, on a Zoom call with our therapist. That's exactly what happened to me. She talked about codependency, and as she was going through some of the traits and some of the manifestations of codependency, I broke down. Because although I am much better at this age of 33 and my codependent tendencies and traits, it's still there. It's still there for various reasons. And so the way that it came up for me was that not too long ago, I had a discussion with my partner. He is a musician. He is used to traveling multiple times a year, every single year for the last 15, 16 years of his life. And of course, COVID happened, and that is not possible for him. And although he has done very well under quarantine and has even picked up meditation over the last couple of months, he's becoming sad. It's finally coming to a point where he's reaching his threshold, right? He's reaching that, and he's doing the best he can to manage. And I noticed that I was becoming very uncomfortable by his sadness. It made me feel uncomfortable to see him sad, to see him down, for his energy to be low. Because he's normally a silly guy. We're very playful with one another, but it's been a very hard, long year for the entire world in many, many ways, aside from COVID. And this is finally hitting him. It's hitting him that he's had almost a whole year without being able to do what he loves, and that potentially next year looks the same. This is his experience. This is his love. This is his passion, his project. It is in a way how he identifies. And to process this, I can't be in that space. I am not him. I can imagine, for reasons of my own, for passions and interests of my own, but I can't know exactly what he feels, right? I am not him. So I'm in this class yesterday with Vanessa, and she's talking, and I'm crying for almost the entire class. And what the class brought up is that my partner and I were talking not too long ago when he was sad, and I found myself trying to, as I said yesterday, cater the sadness out of him. Okay? So I start doing things around the apartment. I start trying to cook for him. I start offering him tea. I start offering to get him anything that will just not have him be sad. In my family, when I was younger, to be sad, to be upset, generally meant that someone was walking out the door. Obviously, my parents did not have a very healthy dynamic. And even after they divorced, the dynamic with my mom and processing emotion wasn't always the healthiest. If we felt sad, then something was catastrophically wrong. If we were upset, then, you know, we were not allowed to be mad, to be upset, to voice our opinion. It meant that it was wrong. And I am aware of this. I have become aware of this in the last several years of my life. What I didn't realize is how prominent it still was. And when I was trying to, like I said, cater the sadness out of my partner, he just paused and said, and asked, "Why can't you just let me be sad?" Whoo! It was it's such a simple question, and yet it's not, right? He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't rude. He wasn't mean. He just really asked me, "Why can't you just let me be sad?" And in this incessant need to make him feel better, all he needed me to do was give him some space and let him know that I was there if he needed me to be, but not to invade his emotional processing. In that moment, he taught me about healthy boundaries. In that moment, he taught me that it's okay to be sad sometimes, some days, and that the world is not going to end for anyone if we are sad some days. He told me this yesterday. I'm sorry, he didn't tell me this yesterday. He told me this a couple of weeks ago. And yesterday in Vanessa's class, it finally dawned on me that my codependency traits are still there. They just have evolved into different ways of functioning, as life would have it, right? Life is funny like that. And so I had a moment during a call with everyone, not just instructors, but with the instructors and the members who joined the weekend of wellness. And in that moment, Vanessa asked me what was my takeaway from her class and someone else's class. She didn't put me on the spot per se for me to have a breakdown. I don't think that she realized how much I was caring, how much her class impacted me. But she did ask me, "What was your takeaway?" And that question just burst me open. And I shared this experience with about 40 people on a Zoom call, most of them who I don't know personally or at all, really. That was a big thing for me. That was huge, not just because I realized that about myself, that the codependency is still there and that it looks differently and that it's okay and that having the awareness of it, we can, you know, work with it so that it subsides, so that it's easier to manage, so that it's easier to stop. Right? So it's easier to pause before I react on those codependency traits. That was one part of it. And the other part of it was just truly breaking open in front of all of these people, which I haven't done ever, I don't think. I have been in retreats before, small ones with a small group of people that I've shared much, much, much time with. Therefore, they were very known to me. They were very comfortable. I knew that I could break down in that way. But this was very different. This was a wellness retreat, a virtual wellness retreat in COVID times. While everyone, and this isn't to say anything badly about anyone who was there, everyone was so lovely. Everyone held so much space for me to be human, for me to break down, for me to say, this is how I was touched. Because this is very real for me. And this is something that I have been trying to battle my entire life, at least my adult life. And here I am. I'm still struggling with it. And it's right in front of all of you. That was something else. Truly. Why am I sharing this with you? Because it's personal, it's real, but also because I want to remind you that no matter how much work we do, parts of us are still going to come up in different ways, and that it's okay. That it's okay for something like codependence to take a different shape and manifest itself differently and manifest itself in a different relationship. Here's the difference, that as time goes on, we will become clearer, we will become more self-aware, and we will recognize when it's coming up. Because, look, when I was trying, like I said, to cater the sadness out of my partner, it's not like I didn't know what I was doing. I knew it. I knew that what I was trying to do was try to make him feel better while simultaneously knowing that he needed that space. But it made me feel uncomfortable. So I still acted upon that. It does that. That happens. We're human. It's what we do. Look, this work is hard. It's incredibly insightful. But to be completely honest, I feel that it is what has given me purpose and meaning. This curiosity of self. I feel like the word curiosity maybe is a little too light, but we are headed into the era of air. Aquarius and Gemini are going to be huge energy next year. Important energy next year. It is important now. We have the North Node in Gemini, but next year it is going to be about remaining open, receptive, and curious. And in my very humble opinion, how else can we best practice curiosity if it isn't towards ourselves within? There's a Carl Jung quote that is really meaningful to me that I learned a long time ago. And it is, he said, be grateful for your difficulties and challenges, for they hold blessings. In fact, man needs difficulties. They are necessary for the health, personal growth, individuation, and self-actualization. Being grateful for the difficulties of life, of what we carry, of what we see, is a way to appreciate the contrast that helps us see the other side. Yes, yesterday I realized that my codependent traits are so ingrained that they still require work, and that's okay. Because unlike a few years ago, where if I had seen that about myself, I would have berated myself like nothing else. I would have been very mean internally. Like, how can you still think that way? You've been doing so much work. What have you been doing? I can totally see myself doing that to myself several years ago. It's different now because of the amount of work I've done. Sure, some tendencies are still there, but my ability to detach or take a step back without the mental lashing is a massive difference. It allows me to accept myself as I am. And if there is anything that Saturn and Jupiter are going to teach us in Aquarius, is radical acceptance of self, radical responsibility for self, right? Saturn, responsibility. Aquarius, this radical nature, because it's naturally also co-ruled by Uranus. This is who I am now. And that's okay. I am grateful for the fact that I saw that again. The fact that it was brought to the forefront of my thoughts. So now I have new material for my therapist. Here we go. Let's talk about it. Let's talk it out. But I am in a healthy relationship nonetheless. I can talk to my partner about these things and we can process even if we don't have the answers. It's open. It's understanding one another. It's understanding that we each have our own paths and that we each need our own space to let those feelings, thoughts, actions, anything go. So this dose of consciousness is to remind you that no matter how much something is ingrained within us, if you are consistent and committed to your work, to your evolution, to your growth, to that form of self-love, believe me, even if you do fall back a little bit, you'll fall back onto a softer safety net. You will become your softer safety net. Yesterday, when I saw that about myself, initially, I thought, oh my God, here I go again. But when I allowed myself to fall back and feel everything that came up in that class, I fell back on my own safety net of the work that I have already done. That matters. And here's the thing, sometimes we do this work and we don't realize what it's doing until we come to a point of contrast like the one I had yesterday. And it's like, thank the universe, thank the stars, thank Goddess that I have been doing all this work. Because if I hadn't, yesterday would have been a much, much different experience. So I've been talking for 18 minutes. I can talk for 18 more, but I won't do that to you. Thanks so much for being on Astro Consciousness yet again. I hope this is helpful. Follow me on social media. I talk about more astrology stuff. Send me any messages if you want to talk about anything. Or I'm here to do readings as well. Thanks so much. Have a great week.